fourth week in it. If you haven't heard all of them, you can catch up online at theriverfamily.com where we are. But today I want to be talking about, as we go into possess new territory, how it will require of us a shift in our attitude to do it. Now, we've been talking about what it means to possess territory. How many of you know that every person in this place has a territory, so to speak, that God is calling you to take on behalf of your kingdom assignment? That every single one of us has a battle to prepare for. We're all going to have something in our life that God has spoken over us that we are called to go and possess the land. Every one of us. And that we have to be people who understand that the call to be a part of the kingdom is a call to advance the kingdom of God in every arena that you go into, in every aspect of your life. So today we're going to be talking about what attitude is required to do that. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 30 this morning, and this will be our jumping off point. It says, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it,'" talking about the territory, the promised land, "for we are well able to overcome it." Say, well able. There's another translation that says, "We should go up and take possession of the land." Why? "For we can certainly do it." How many of you know if God called you to it, you can accomplish it? I don't care how big and I don't care how scary it is. If God called you to it, you can accomplish it. Not by your strength, but with his help, you can possess the land that God has for you. That might be, that. You know, please understand that what God is calling you to possess is something generational. It's not just about you. It's about your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. How many of you know that God likes to establish heritages of faith? Amen? He wants to have generational blessing, generational providence over your life so that we can continue to take ground. How many of you know it's not good to take ground and give it back? Amen? You don't want to take ground and then give it back. We want to keep progressing forward. So the Israelites' journey from Egypt to the Promised Land teaches us something vital about the attitude that we need for territory taking. Now, one thing that I find in the story of when the children of Israel left Egypt and they began to go into the desert and they began to march to the promised land that God had for them, here's the saddest thing to me. If you were to plot it on a map in a straight line, it's about a 2 to 3 week walk. Yet they spent 40 years. Come on. How many of you know that would be a little frustrating? See, I'm the type of person that where I'm heading somewhere, I want to get there. Anybody else like that? Like, if I'm on a trip, I want to get there. I want to be there. I'm going to the airport today. I will be there early. I will be in line. I will be ready to go. I don't want to mess around. If I'm driving somewhere and the GPS is on, I will beat the GPS. I don't care what the estimated time says. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get there faster. I want to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Anybody else like that? But sometimes we encounter frustrations. Sometimes we encounter things that challenge our attitudes. Come on. No, don't look at me like you've never gotten frustrated driving somewhere. See, I've seen some of you on the road, and you haven't seen me. I've seen you rage drive, right? But the Israelites' journey, if you plot it on the map, it's clear that they could have taken the territory much earlier, but their attitudes caused a 40-year delay. So why did the Israelites get stuck in the desert and not take new territory for God that he had promised them? For the same reason that we still get stuck, some of us, today. We had the wrong attitudes. Possession of the land requires a specific attitude. It's needed to take a new territory. And it was defined by two of the 12 men Moses sent out to spy in the promised land. And they had what I call a can-do attitude of faith. They believed God. And this is the kind of attitude required to take new territory for God's kingdom. You see, where we pick up in Numbers, it's telling the story of the 12 spies that were sent out into the land to spy out the land. And when they came back to give the report, after 40 days of spying out the land, they came back to to give the report. And when they began to give the report, 10 of them said, "We can't do this." 2 of them said, "Let's go take it. Let's go do what God told us to do." Now, everybody here, we've all heard some variants of this message, but it bears repeating, and it bears that we are reminded that we have to have the attitude of Joshua and Caleb, who says, "Surely we can go and take it. Surely we can do what God has called us to do." Amen? But what about all the challenges? What about all the hindrance? What about all the things that are going to stop us? And you had 2 that said, "What can stop us if God says he is for us?" And then you had 10 who thought of every way possible not to believe God. There's going to be a lot of people in your life who are going to tell you, you can't do it. The only one that matters is, what did God say? What did God say? See, it's easy to be a naysayer. I'm going to tell you guys something. I don't know if you've noticed this. It's easy to complain. As a matter of fact, it takes no special genius to point out a problem. All right? Please don't understand. If you come up to me and you say you have the gift of discernment to point out problems, by the way, I've heard that one, just so you know. "Pastor, I know how to point out the problems in the church." Yeah, I know you do, you and everybody else. The question is can you fix it? Can you contribute to the plan of God? Can you do something that takes territory instead of just sitting around and complaining about it? Listen, I don't know about you, but whenever I read the account of the children of Israel in the desert, those guys were a bunch of whiny, complaining. Man, do you get frustrated with them like I do? I'm like, God is literally feeding you every day by miraculous event. He's leading you by night by miraculous event, and you're still complaining. You want to know why? It's human nature. It's what's on the inside of us to do that. Joshua and Caleb had the right attitude, and this is the kind of attitude required to take the new territory for God's kingdom. So since it's so vital, let's get a better understanding of it. So here's what the Oxford Dictionary defines attitude as. It's a selected way of thinking or feeling about something. It's the way of thinking or feeling typically reflected in a person's behavior. Can I say that again? It's a way of thinking or feeling about something that shows up in your behavior. Attitude determines behavior. Can I say that again? You say, "Pastor James, you know, this is nothing earth-shattering. We know this." Do we? Do we? Because you can tell me all day you believe God, but your behavior will tell me something else. You can tell me all day you're a positive person, but your behavior will tell me something else. Come on. I know what you believe by what you're willing to act upon. Amen? It's kind of like saying, "Oh, I believe in evangelism." Great. Who have you shared the gospel with? You say, "Pastor James, get off my toes this morning. I came to church to feel nice. You've had the nice part. Now I'm going to get mean." No, I'm kidding. No, what you come to this place, what you come to the body of faith for, body of believers for, is to grow so that we can possess the land, so we don't keep facing the same problems again and again and again and fighting the same battles again and again and again and going around the same mountain again and again and again. God wants us to progress. He wants us to grow. And in order for us to do that, there has to be a new attitude that comes with it. Attitude determines behavior. You can be right about something, but if your attitude is wrong, you're wrong. And successful performance in life and in the call of God is really determined not necessarily by what you know, not necessarily by your skill, but more importantly, by your attitude. Let's say it this way: 15% what you know, 15% what you can do, 70% based on your attitude. Amen? See, attitude is a condition of the mind. And if we train our minds, our actions will follow. And when we change our attitudes, our lives will follow. You know, you guys have heard the saying, a bad attitude's like a flat tire. You can't move forward until you change it. Right? The question is are we willing to change our attitudes? Now, here's the thing. You're saying, Pastor James, you're focusing a lot this morning on a mental condition, on the idea of I change my mind. I think, where's the God in all of this? Well, if you read Scripture, Scripture talks oftentimes about guarding your heart. For out of it flow the issues of life. Whenever the Scripture talks about the heart, it's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. Scripture talks about how we should have the mind of Christ in all things. Scripture talks about the renewal of the mind. Amen? Because Jesus knew that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Amen? This is not self-help. This is Bible. I'm not interested in self-help, Christian self-help. I'm interested in what does the Word say? And the Word says that how we think about a thing matters. That's why the Word, even you've heard me say this, I don't know how many times, the word repent in the Greek is metanoia, which literally means think differently. So whenever you say I'm repenting, what you're really saying is I'm now making a decision to think differently. I'm changing my mind. How many of you know some of us need to change the way we think about some circumstances in our life? Amen? Sometimes, you say, Pastor James, it's not that easy. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. You just have to simply think differently. Didn't mean it was easy. Come on. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. It's why we need the Holy Spirit to direct us. How do I think differently about this? How do I change my attitude? How do I change my thoughts and my feelings about what lies in store? You see, what happens is what I've found is in the church, we have a lot of negativity. We have a lot of negativity that's couched in spiritual talk. Come on. You guys look mad at me this morning. And Bill's phone's going off. He's very embarrassed right now in the front row. He's turning red. I just figured I'd call him out on it a little bit. I should probably change my attitude about that, shouldn't I? We have a lot of negativity in the church, which I find odd, given the fact that we serve a God who can do anything by His Word. Amen? I mean, He speaks, and everything you see comes to existence. Why in the world would we be so negative when we serve a God who is so positive about you? I mean, He was so positive about you, He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you, even when you were at your most negative, at your worst. That tells me that's a God of hope. Amen? Why would we be so negative when we serve a God of infinite hope? Why would we ever believe that God doesn't want to heal us? That God doesn't want to forgive us? That God doesn't want to save us? He wants us healed, saved, and delivered more than we even want it. Amen? He is so positive about you. But we painted this picture that Christianity is negativity, and it's not. It's a great hope. And we have to walk with hope in every season of life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe that God wants good for me. I believe that God wants good for you. I believe that God wants us to take the land. He just wants us to trust Him to do it. Amen? Let's talk a little bit this morning. I don't know. This just hit me. You guys remember that song? My son will get mad at me for telling this. I've said it before. But you guys remember the song Indescribable? How many of you heard that song by Chris Tomlin? You know, indescribable, uncontainable. I mean, it's describing God. And it talks about how He places the stars in the sky and He knows them by name. and that he is a God of creation. He is a God of beauty. The funny part about this was when Sebastian was really little, we would be driving down the road, and he liked this song a lot. We were still living in Florida at the time. And he, believe it or not, if you know Baz, he doesn't talk a lot now, but he was super chatty as a kid. Like, he just, man, he would just go, talk all the time. So he's sitting in the back seat, and we were driving down the road one day, and that song is playing, you know, worshiping, and he's back there singing it, indescribable, uncontainable. And then he says this line, humbly we fall to our knees because of our broken legs. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not the words. But true story, anytime I hear that song, that's what I sing. Isn't that awesome? But you know what? There was a little bit of truth in that. I don't know if he could even pick up at 3 years old, which is our brokenness that causes us to fall at the feet of Jesus, the one who can do it all. Amen? You guys okay? Let's talk about our own attitudes today. Let's ask the important question. What shapes your attitude? Let me ask you a question. Is it your circumstances that shapes your attitude? Is it how others treat you? Is it how wealthy you are? Is it what you have and what you don't have? What shapes your attitude? What do you allow to shape your attitude? See, what I've found out is this. As much as we want to blame everything else, attitude is really our choice. It's really up to us. Listen, you cannot control how other people speak to you. You cannot control how other people treat you. But you can and you should control your attitude. Amen? Your attitude will be your responsibility forever. It's nobody else's responsibility. It doesn't fall on anybody else's shoulders. See, that's something we have a tendency to do. We want to believe that people or circumstances determine our attitudes, and that's a lie. We should not allow to ruin our lives. Your attitude is your choice. See, it's a decision that starts in the mind and doesn't start with your feelings. The problem is we are too emotional. Now, hear me. I believe in emotion. I believe in joy. I believe in laughter. I believe in celebration. I believe in grieving. But I don't believe that emotion should control everything. See, what we have is we have a generation that thinks with their emotions, and that's leading us off course. Right? We have to be a people who are not led by our emotions. We are led by the truth, and we call our emotions to come in line with the truth. Amen? And so our attitude has to be built upon the truth of what God says, not how I feel in the moment. And I don't know how many times I've said this, but if you only have a good attitude and worship God when circumstances are good, you know how I'm going to finish this, then you don't worship God, you worship good circumstances. Period. Now, how many of you know it's easier when things are good? But things aren't always going to be good, guys. Some days we're going to have struggles. Some days we're going to have battles. And we talked about it last week, that when we're going to possess a land, when God has called us to go into battle, God has called us to go to take something, that there is a battle involved in it. That if you're fighting for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, the enemy doesn't want to give up that territory easily. So we have to go and fight for it. Amen? And that starts with a choice. It starts in our mind and not with our feelings. So a bad attitude, how many of you know it when you see it? Right? Selfishness, rudeness, fault-finding, negativity. These are the attitudes that the Israelites displayed, especially 10 of the 12 men who went out to spy on the promised land. Let's look in Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to actually start at verse 25, real quick, 13 verse 25. I know I said 23, fellas, but we're going to go to 25. And it says, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, which was beautiful. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. Almost sounds like Austin. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, who were the giants. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." What we find here is complaining and self-centeredness. How is this going to affect me? How is this going to harm me? How many of you know an attitude starts in selfishness and self-centeredness? How does this affect me? They began to doubt God's ability to deliver his promises. And this is the one that frustrates me the most, because even as God had done miracle after miracle after miracle, yet they still doubted God. And guess what? I can't be too hard on them, because how many times have I seen God come through for me time and time and time again, yet I still doubt sometimes. How about you? And then there was disobedience and rebellion. They knew that God had told them to go and possess the land. And the only thing that stopped them was their sheer determination not to obey God. How often have we been guilty of that? God speaks, yet we refuse to move. God calls, yet we don't answer. And they began to disseminate and spread fear. I hate to say this, but I believe that the church is dominated by too much fear. Too much fear. What are we afraid of? Well, we can't do that. What happens if people look bad upon it? Well, we can't do that. Well, we can't be that type of church in this community. We can't be a church that believes God to do the miraculous. What will people think? They'll think we're weird. Well, they already think you're weird. Just believe God. Why are you so concerned? They don't think about you as much as you think they do. Well, what will people say if I do what God's telling me to do? Who cares? Who cares? Listen, I'm not saying I've never been guilty of worrying about what people are going to think. I'm just saying I'm getting old enough now to where I don't care as much what people think. And I care more about what God says. And I care more about saying, am I pleasing God? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I being obedient to possess the land that he's called me into? You know? Well, what will other parents think if we don't let our kids do this? Who cares? My kids are not their responsibility. What does it matter? See, we spend too much time considering other opinions outside of God's. We have to ask ourselves, what does God have to say? Amen? They gave a higher priority to their report of fear and the report of their senses than to what God said. We will not take new territory with the wrong attitude. And there's also a hefty price to pay. It cost the people of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. Something I want to show you. One year for each of the 40 days that the spies spent in the promised land in disbelief. They spied out the land. And when they came back, they spread fear. They spread a report against the word of the Lord. and they spent 40 years. God had to wait for a generation of unbelief to die out. And by the way, the only two spies who ever made it into the promised land, come on, were Caleb and Joshua. All the rest of them died out. They died in the wilderness. They died never attaining that which God had for them. Do you understand that? God called that generation in. God called that generation in. And they called that generation in so that when they went in, that their children would live in the land of the good. They left the battle to their kids. Michelle, come. I want to ask you a question. How many battles are you leaving to the generation after you because of your unwillingness to change your attitude and obey God? How many giants are you leaving in the land for your kids? Hear me, I'm not being critical here. What I'm saying is our kids are going to have enough giants to fight. The generations after us are going to have enough battles to win. Why would we ever leave ours on the table for them? Amen? Especially when God has called us to a position of victory. Surely we can do what he's called us to do. Amen? Surely we can possess it. We need to have a good attitude. The attitude that the spies Caleb and Joshua was this. They were realistic. They never denied the challenge. Come on. I'm not asking you to deny the challenge in front of you. What I'm saying is just make God bigger than the challenge. Amen? I'm not telling you, let's just go be like a bunch of weirdos who walk around and get so spiritually minded that we never recognize that there's challenges in front of us. Listen, there are real things that we got to fight. There are real strongholds. There are real enemies in the land. We don't deny that. We just believe our God is greater than. Amen? And see, that's the attitude that Joshua and Caleb had. They didn't deny that the giants were there. They just believed God's call was bigger than. They were full of faith and trust in God. They were full of obedience. And you know what obedience is? Obedience is simply submission to God's word. What has he spoken? Let's obey that. Amen? And they were full of courage. You know how I like to define courage? Faith in action. Faith in action. Faith bigger than my fear. Courage. See, God's going to call you to do some things that might be a little scary. But that's okay. He's with you. Amen? See, a great attitude will help us to become great people. And we have to model the attitude in the example of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says this. In Philippians 2, it says, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross." See, Jesus' attitude was this. He submitted to God. He served with humility. And he obeyed God's word even to the point of death. He believed that his Father would not abandon him in that moment. And he confessed that he would raise him from the dead. And guess what? He did. Amen? Jesus faced the reality of the cross and death, yet he lived with an attitude that says, "I can do this in Jesus, and for my Father, for my people." He didn't consider it. He didn't consider the pain of the moment to be greater than the glory and the purpose of which God was calling him to. And others in the Bible did that. He never complained. He never doubted. And as a result, many in Scripture took new territory. They defeated giants. Jesus defeated the giants of sin and death. David defeated Goliaths. Moses overthrew the nation of Egypt. Paul, in the New Testament, evangelized the known world. See, the Holy Spirit will assist us if we begin to live with an attitude and if we ask Him and we obey Him faithfully. See, our attitudes can influence people and circumstances around us. And if, let me tell you, let me just say it very simply. Your attitude will affect the world around you either positively or negatively. But make no mistake, you will have an impact one way or the other. One way or the other, you're going to affect the people around you. I say, let's not leave that to the default of negativity. Come on. Let's make certain that everywhere we go, every place we step our foot, that we are changing the very atmosphere. As a matter of fact, here's something interesting. Well, maybe you won't find it interesting, but I did. When the Israelites would go into battle, in ancient times, before they went into battle, you know what they would do? They would begin to dance and shout and sing and clap their hands. They would begin to celebrate. Could you imagine being the army on the opposite hill, looking across to this Israelite army who already had a reputation for being victorious, who already had a reputation for winning? As a matter of fact, if you go and read the accounts, what does it say when it gets to Jericho? That says, we have heard of you, and we were afraid. Sometimes I think other nations viewed Israel as bigger than they even viewed themselves. And I think sometimes maybe we don't view ourselves as big as maybe God wants us to be. But what would happen is they would look across, and all of a sudden you would see this army begin to dance, begin to shout, begin to sing, begin to celebrate, and the battle hasn't even started yet. Listen, I don't know about you, but I bet even the most intimidating men of war had to stop themselves and go, what is happening? What are they doing? Imagine how scary that must have been to see the army you're about to fight already in full celebration. What do they know that I don't know? Why are they celebrating already? And if you would ask the Hebrews, they would have said, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? And so they would rush into battle. And there were many times that they never even had to fight, that the enemy just dropped their weapons and ran. And then it will say something to the effect, and then the Israeli army, the Israelites, pursued them and routed them out. I believe that our attitudes can shift the very atmosphere, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. And that there's enemies that we can chop down by dancing into battle. Amen? By believing God is who He says He is. By believing God is bigger than. By believing God and by obeying Him, we can see the giants fall. But we've got to have the attitude like Caleb and Joshua. Surely we can take the land. Surely we can do this. Let's all stand.